around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford, and we'd like to welcome you today to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We thank you for allowing us to come into your home, your place of business, wherever that you might be, to receive the Word of God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your support. We thank you immensely for your prayers for the ministry. We live in an hour, we live in a day when many are unthankful. And I don't want to ever become of that nature, having an unthankful heart. That is one of the great tragedies in purported Christianity today. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John, we don't love by word only, but by deed. You could tell a person that you love them, and they say, but I'm hungry. Well, I love you, but go your way. That is in absolute opposition to how God commands us to live and to treat our neighbor. Yet, regretfully, we see that so many times. 1 John 3:17-18 says, but whosoever hath this world's good, and see his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You could tell someone all day long that you love them, but you show them by deed and by truth in the actuality of that. Well, next week is the election. It is our responsibility to be faithful, to go to the polls and cast our vote. And I want to encourage you again today, vote your convictions, vote the Word of God. It is without a doubt God, in His sovereignty, is attempting to do something in America that's good. You would have never witnessed Barack Hussein Obama sitting in the White House allowing an evangelical Christian to lay his hand on his shoulders and kneel beside his chair and pray, as we witnessed Pastor Brunson as he was freed from Turkey, having spent 2 years in a prison camp. All you professing Christians that are on the left with the other party that's criticizing Donald Trump, you're in danger. You're in grave danger. I'll ask you again, have you ever seen more prayer, more godly leadership, as Donald Trump allows Christian evangelicals to lay their hands on him and pray for him publicly? I mean, national television. You didn't see that under George Bush. You see, there's a difference. There is a distinct difference here. And it's my heart's desire, it is my prayer that you are grasping the difference. And if you're not grasping the difference, there's something spiritually wrong in your heart. I didn't elect a pastor. I didn't vote for a preacher. I elected or voted for a president. I didn't even want a politician. I wanted a president that cared about me and my welfare and my well-being. And you've witnessed the cynical rampage, the cynical looting of the left as they eviscerated a Supreme Court justice nominee to no end. Yet they have people in their own party like the man in Minnesota who has got police reports of beating, video beating his girlfriend, and all of these things. But they're silent because it's one of theirs. Jesus said the world is going to love its own. The world is going to take care of its own. But the world is going to hate you without a cause. I would simply ask the question today, what has Donald Trump done that is so evil? You see, God has suffered these people, like the Syrian army, to be in disarray. God has allowed these liberal people and their ungodly mindset to develop a spirit of disarray. Pocahontas, well, we found out, 1,024th Cherokee Indian. 1,024. That's 0.9%. Not even a tenth of a percent. So I would dare say many of you listening to me today probably have more Cherokee Indian in you than she does. And they want to talk about hypocrisy and lying. I've never witnessed such a time when people misappropriate the truth. You even have purported Christians who are doing the exact same thing. They are twisting the scriptures. They are twisting truth to fit their agenda. To fit their agenda. Why? Why? Because they are of their father, the devil. That's why they do it. Satan instills. Satan invokes. Satan imparts. He imparts thoughts. He imparts ideas. He imparts things that are ungodly, wicked, and nefarious into the minds, into the hearts of these people. And they react to Satan's fiery darts from hell. Even the Christian has the propensity, has the proclivity, has the tendency to lean toward the fiery darts of the enemy. But I'm so glad today that Jesus Christ has touched us. He has delivered us. He has given us sight. We can see. If you are a blood-bought, born-again child of God, you see through every charlatan, whether they are a politician, whether they are a purported news outlet, whether they are a purported Christian, you see. Your spirit says what they're saying is just not right. It is a misappropriation of truth. And it is legion in the world today. And it's happening to the church. Some of you may remember the gentleman Mike McQuitty. Steve Quayle had him on his program many times. Mike McQuitty and his wife were both killed in a head-on collision car accident. And Mike McQuitty made a statement repeatedly that in the end, it will be the worst of times, it will be the best of times. And we've witnessed the hurricanes, the one that hit the Eastern Carolinas. We were not affected that much or that badly, but we had a lot of flooding through Michael. We had 5.5 inches of rain where I live here in 3 hours. The properties around here where all the creeks were overflowed in a manner which no one had ever seen before. God was merciful. We didn't get that much damage through the profuse flooding, but nevertheless, it did. And yet we see on the other side God trying to work in our nation, and evangelicals have had a weakness in their hearts and their lives and not being righteous and doing their civil duty and responsibility in going to the polls and voting. Remember, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were involved in the Babylonian government. Daniel was involved in the Babylonian government. Jeremiah was held captive, but God gave him mercy. God gave him grace. And God gave him booty. He gave him money. And the captain said, go your way. Do as you please. Nehemiah, King Cyrus, helped him financially, physically, to rebuild Jerusalem. God is a God of government. The fact of the matter is, our government has become so wicked. And we need Christian people in leadership that will not compromise on their convictions, that will remain steadfast, that will remain unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. We live in a time when people are fearful to express their political disposition for fear of being attacked, being maligned. That's why when all hell breaks loose, you don't want to be in these large cities. Because this is ultimately going to come to fruition. This will ultimately come to fruition. And this is why it is imperative that you be in a position, a place, a posture, because civility will return. Even though God seized Jerusalem through Nebuchadnezzar, God did many things. But then a time of civility, placidity would return. And he told Israel, you're going into 40 years of Babylonian, 70 years of Babylonian captivity. 70 years. Continue to marry. Plant your gardens. Grow your crops while you're in Babylon. There were those false prophets who said, oh, this will only be a 1, 2, or 3 year stay. But it was 70 years. And at the end of the 70 years, they were freed. Daniel understood, according to Daniel chapter 9, the books of Jeremiah, the time, the duration of the time. Daniel understood clearly what God was doing, why God did it, and how long it would be. And so we can have much understanding. Daniel 9, verse 2. In the year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel understood by books the number of the years. I never fail to be amazed at how people read their Bible and they don't see. Let me say it this way. They don't comprehend what they read. It just goes like the old cliche, into one ear and out the other. They don't get it. They don't get it. They don't see it. They tell you, well, you can't know the times. Sure you can. The men of Issachar had understanding of the times and knew what Israel was to do. They had understanding of the times. And yet people walk around and say, you can't say that. I said it. I marked it on my calendar and on my phone. How some weeks ago I made a statement. You'll be here. You'll be here in the year of 2021. He said, well, you can't say that. Well, guess what? I said it. Guess what? I'm on record. You say, why would you do that? So people will understand. People will understand. There is a protocol. There is a protocol. There is a protocol. And when October the 1st, 2021 rolls around, you can say, well, Pastor Lankford was right. It's not that I'm right. It's that I understand. I get emails. People say the Great Tribulation is about to begin. Wrong. Let me ask you a question, and I'll get into the message here in a minute. Do you think when Nagasaki and Hiroshima were nuked, that if any Christian person in Japan read the book of Revelation, thought they were in the Great Tribulation? You think they surmised? Do you think, I believe it was in the 1930s, when the Social Security Administration came to fruition and everyone got a Social Security number and they put on the card Social Security number, not for identification purposes? Why? There was such an uproar from the people in America who understood scriptures that there would come a time when the mark of the beast would be made manifest. Would be made manifest. Yes. Yes. And I remember my grandparents telling me how everyone was so afraid. And so because of the uproar, they put on the Social Security card, not for identification, tax purposes only. Again, do you think if there was any Christians in Japan when they dropped Big Boy and Little Boy on Nagasaki and Hiroshima? Do you think they thought they could have been in Great Tribulation? But see, you and I know because we saw the beginning, we saw the end. But it was not the Great Tribulation, period. Why? Because certain Bible passages and certain Bible scriptures had not come to fruition, like Ezekiel chapter 37. Israel was not a nation yet. Israel became a nation May the 14th, 1948. I witness the cynicism, the silliness, the craziness of people saying this and saying that and doing this and doing that. Spiritual understanding, not private interpretation. Not private interpretation. It was back in 1948. When God placed Israel back in Jerusalem, and because USA is in the word Jerusalem, people back then, I'm talking back 1948, so we're talking 70 years ago, began to tout America's significance in Israel. Only time will tell whether that is a reality or not. Right now, under the administration that we are presently living under, that is apropos. That seems to be so concurrent with what scriptures are decreeing. But I remember back in 1994, 24 years ago, following the 40-day fast, God spoke something to my heart. He said, do not nail down, do not glue down any Bible prophecy. And I've watched people ever since then, adamantly, unyielding, not relinquishing, standing adamantly saying, this is it, and it wasn't. Scriptures must be reconciled. Scriptures must be fulfilled. And of course, studying the scriptures is how we come to these conclusions, these understandings. Daniel was already in captivity when he said he understood. I want to point that out to you. Daniel was already in Babylon in captivity when he said he understood by the books. He was already there. He wasn't going there. He wasn't assuming to go there. He was there. He was there. Both Ezekiel and Jeremiah were his contemporaries. Scriptures are literally replete, connecting the dots in the proper time frame is what is so important. If you do not connect the dots correctly relative to the time, then you get out of synchronization. You are not synchronized. Psalms 31:15, David said, "My times are in your hand." Whatever time it is in your life, maybe you're depressed at this time. Maybe you're joyous this time. Maybe you're saddened at this time. Maybe you're going through a time of bereavement at this time. Maybe you just got married at this time. Maybe your spouse just had a child at this time. Some listening may have gone through a divorce at this time. Whatever the time is, as a Christian believer, your times are in God's hand. However you find yourself, your time is in God's hand. That is important. Our time right now is a time when God has allowed Donald J. Trump to be in the White House. Pray for the man. My God, pray for the man. The debasedness, the mockery of his wife, the First Lady. You know, and you've heard me say this months and months and months ago, probably over a year now. Pray for her. Pray for her. She goes through so much in her life. She suffers unjustly just because she happens to be the man's wife. And yet they make a mockery of the video, portraying her as a, well, we just won't bother to go there. But what a sad and tragic time. Had that been Obama's wife, such outcry would have been unleashed on whoever did it. But they're silent. I'm telling you, there's a spirit of hatefulness and hatredness that is pervading America. A spirit of hatefulness, a spirit of hatredness. It's very simple. Why is there such malice, clamor, evil, backbiting, sadistic, derelict, irresponsibility from the left? Why? Why? It's simple. God is doing something. Satan doesn't raise his head and fight when he's getting his will in his way. A child does not throw a temper tantrum when they're getting their way. It's when they quit getting their way that they go into that tantrum. And these people don't lie to you. They want a nation without borders. It's pure socialism. And Karl Marx said the step between communism and capitalism is socialism. And God may ultimately allow America to go through this socialistic phase, and then we go into the communistic phase when you'll be shot in the streets for protesting. You say, that won't happen. Yeah. How about the Saudi Washington Post reporter who was accidentally killed during an interrogation, yet they brought in a forensic doctor to disembody, to cut the man up. This stuff, this shows you the evilness. This shows you the evilness. Anytime light is shined on darkness, people become fearful and they try to react. Christians do it. Christians do it. Do they? Sure they do. What did the psalmist David do to Bathsheba's husband? Tried to have him murdered. Well, he did have him murdered. But he tried to conceal the murder. So there's, Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Christians, if they are not careful, fall into the same state, posture, position that the world does. That's why the church calls it worldliness. Worldliness. It's tragic, isn't it? Nevertheless, it is a reality. I want to encourage you profusely to go take someone with you, take a neighbor, take a friend, take somebody, and vote. I'm praying God will literally bruise the head of the devil. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. You hear me? And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. That's the word of God. That is not the words of David Lankford. We're beginning a new series today in Psalms 107. This new series will be entitled Elohim Delivers by His Word. Elohim delivers by His Word. That is so important to understand today. Looking at Psalms 107, we'll read the first five verses today. Psalms 107, beginning at verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, and from the west, from the north, and from the south. You see, God has the power to gather His people from every position or posture. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. What a powerful, powerful, powerful verse. So let's look at this topic, this theme that we want to use for the next several weeks. Elohim delivers by His word. Psalms 107 picks right up with a continuation from Psalms 106 concerning worship as well as praise. We should all praise the Lord because of His mercy that we have received. David said in Psalms 103:17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. Who gets mercy? Those who fear God. Psalms 147 verse 11 says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him and in those that hope in His mercy. A year and a half ago, or thereabouts, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Told me to go upstairs and start praying. I specifically went upstairs and I began to pray. I had no idea what I was praying for. I did not know what I was praying for. I did not understand what I was praying for. And I began to weep. And I began to cry. And I said, God, give me mercy. I said, God, if You will give me mercy, that will stay the hand of the enemy. That will stop Satan's onslaught, the plot, the plan that he has devised to hurt me or to seek my demise. But I plead with You, give me mercy. Now let me quote it again, Psalms 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him and in those that hope in His mercy. I was trusting God for His mercy. Two a.m. Sunday morning, the phone rang. When you are a minister and your phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's either an idiot or there's unfathomable danger. Something bad has happened. When the phone rings at 2 a.m, it's scary. To make a long story short, it was my youngest son, Linton, been in a terrible truck accident. And he wrapped his truck around a tree doing 90 miles an hour. Now, what do you expect out of a 20-year-old sometimes? Regretfully, I did some of the same silly antics in my own life, and most of you listening as well. But on the end of the phone, he said, "I totaled my truck, but I'm all right." Why am I sharing that? Because of mercy. I did not know anything about that at 6 o'clock Saturday morning. No idea. No idea. But God knew 18, 20 hours later what's going to happen. See, God knows everything. There are those of you listening to me today, you think in your heart God has forgotten you. You think God doesn't know where you are. You think God doesn't understand you. Just because you may not sense His presence, because you may feel ostracized, because you may feel alienated, you feel like God is not watching over me. Can I tell you? God knows everything. God is in everything. He's in the next breath that you take. People say, what is it, karma, the universe, Mother Nature owes me. That is nothing but cynical. And I'm going to go ahead and say it, stupid karma. See, people take God's word and they twist it into some debauched, debased ideology. The Bible says you reap what you sow. It's not karma. Karma. No. No. It is retroprosity. It's what you have sown. That's what you're going to reap. So the Bible said, be not deceived. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. Why are you saved? Because of His mercy. Nothing that you ever do saves you. You have placed your faith in a fallacy if you believe anything you have done, anything you have said, anything that you have done within yourself saved you. Your faith is absolutely misplaced. Or Titus 3:5, Ephesians 2:9, these verses are heresy. Let me quote it again, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us. You got mercy. You deserved judgment. You deserved a sentencing. You deserved a verdict of death, but God showed you mercy. There's nothing you could say. There's nothing you could do. There's no case you could plead. There's no way you could buy, no way you could purchase, no way you could possess a claim on God. Nothing. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Is paying your tithes a righteous work? Yes, it is. Is prayer a righteous work? Yes, it is. Is reading your Bible a righteous work? Yes, it is. Is giving to missionaries a righteous work? Yes, it is. Is getting water baptized a righteous work? Yes, it is. Receiving the Holy Ghost, is that a righteous work? Yes, it is. But remember what he just said. not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. His mercy. Let me go back to Psalms 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and in those that hope. Hope in his mercy. Romans 5 and 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. You see, God has to give you the Holy Ghost. You can't earn it. You have to be saved to be a candidate to receive the Holy Ghost. The Ephesians in Acts chapter 9 were already saved. Acts chapter 19. Did I say 9? If I said 9, I meant to say Acts chapter 19. Here's what Paul said to the Ephesians in Acts chapter 19, verse 2. Have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you were saved? They said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said, well, unto then, what baptism were you baptized unto? They said, John the Baptist. Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. So we have a different baptism, don't we? Oh, I know that just throwed a ringer, and that just upset a lot of people. But I can't help that. But the Bible says in Hebrews 6 and 2 of the doctrine of baptisms. So we got multiple baptisms. Oh, you've heard me say that before. You've got the baptism into the body of Christ. You got baptism in water. You got baptism in the Holy Ghost. There's different types of baptism. So there was John's baptism. Was John's baptism a righteous baptism? Or was John's fake, fraudulent, no good, worthless? Be careful how you answer. John's baptism was righteous. John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Matthew 3:11. I baptize you with water under repentance, but he it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He, Jesus, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'm going to make some of you upset here. Jesus' baptism was the baptism in the Holy Ghost. That's all I'm going to say. Baptism in the Holy Ghost. Paul said, what baptism were you baptized unto then? Because Paul recognized multiple baptisms. Which one? Tell me which baptism are you baptized unto? They said, John the Baptist. Paul replied, John verily, certainly, with certitude, baptized with the baptism of repentance. He's telling us if we repent, then we are saved. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed, since you were saved? They said, well, our baptism is that of John the Baptist. Jesus said, with certitude, John did baptize you. Paul, with certitude, said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, that they should believe on him, Jesus, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. You got to believe Jesus to be saved, no other way. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, because they were getting ready to receive the Holy Ghost. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues, and they prophesied. They were already believers. How you know? They were baptized unto John's Baptist baptism. That's how I know they were saved. Because his was a baptism of what? Repentance. Repentance. Confess your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Why do Christians want to make everything arduous and difficult and my God this and that and another? And it's just not that hard, folks. It's just not that hard. Now, I could really throw a ringer out here in Acts 19 and say, you ready for this? There's no indication there was water there in Acts 19 and 5. There is no indication there was water. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm not saying they were not baptized in water. I'm saying the Bible doesn't say that. What were they baptized then unto? The Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not going to sit here and be contentious and say, well, there was no way. I'm just telling you, the Bible doesn't say there was water there. It just tells me the Holy Ghost was there. John said, I baptize you with water unto repentance. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Another baptism, a different baptism. How did God destroy the earth the first time? Water. How's he going to destroy it the second time? Fire. Vast difference. Not trying to be contentious by any means today. I just want you to understand, and I want you to have a willingness to look over all of what the Bible says, the scriptures say. And you are saved not because your last name is Smith, and that's a rhetorical statement. You're not saved because you paid the $20,000 tithes last year. You're not saved because you did this or you did that. You are saved because of God's mercy. God doesn't owe any man anything. Think of what I just said. God doesn't owe any man anything. He paid the debt in full at Calvary. Now let's go back to Psalms 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and in those that hope in his mercy. The Lord taketh pleasure. The word pleasure there in the Hebrew means God delights in those that hope in his mercy. He delights. He wants you to delight in him, and he wills to delight in you. Yeah. Yeah. God loves to delight in his people. Do the people love to delight in the Lord? Psalms 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, probably 20 years ago, I got the revelation of that verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Everyone listening to me right now would agree. Everyone desires to get their heart's desire. They want their desire. Here's what God showed me. As you spend time in God's presence, your desire becomes God's will. What God has willed in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is not rocket science to me. It is as simple as A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You just put it all together. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Your heart's desire becomes God's perfect will as you spend time in his presence. His presence breaks you down. His presence takes away your self-will, your self-desire, what you're trying to accomplish. It is removed. It is removed. So as you spend time, when God said in Isaiah 1:18, "Come, let us reason together," saith the Lord of hosts, God knows you're not going to change his mind. But God knows if he can get you in his presence, he will change your mind. Do you reckon, do you suppose any one of us today need our mind changed? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we need our mind to be changed. Come. God says, come. Let us reason together. I'll show you a more excellent way. I'll show you a more perfect way. And watch verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the fruit of the land. But if ye rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. If ye be willing and what? Obedient. Obedience. Obedience always plays such a significance in our lives. If you're not obeying, then you're disobeying. Disobedience is that of the devil himself. Disobedience. You say, well, I'm not obeying, but I'm not disobeying. Hey, you can't have it both ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man cannot receive anything from God. I know people personally who are always vacillating, they're oscillating, they're in today, they're out tomorrow, they're changing their mind. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James 1, 7 and 8. Don't believe that lie from the devil. A double-minded man. In other words, your mind is changing. Your mind is oscillating. Your mind is vacillating. It's not fixed. How many times does the psalmist talk about having a fixed heart? My heart is fixed. Not because it's broken. Fixed in the sense it is steadfast. It is unmovable. I fixed that problem. I nailed it down. It won't come up again. It won't come apart again. Why? I fixed it. So his heart is fixed. In the context that because his heart is fixed, he's not going to be moved. Not going to be moved. Mercy. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and in those that hope in his mercy. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. What does that say? Mercy endures how long? Forever. How long is forever? Eternity. Here's the deal. There will never be a generation that will come along that can say to God, you never showed me mercy. Never. You never showed me mercy. Why? Because God is just. Now, I admittedly, and if you've been listening to me for 20 years, you've heard me make this statement. God showed me so much mercy. I escaped 3 terrible automobile accidents. Some of the things I came through was all based on mercy. I know what it means to get mercy. I prayed it last year, not knowing what I was needing, or a year and a half ago, praying for mercy. God, give me mercy. I didn't need it, but my son needed it. You see, God, because of David, gave him Solomon, but the women turned his heart away from God. But there was great peace, there was great placidity during Solomon's reign, because David was a man of war. Because his hands had shed so much blood, God said, I'm not going to suffer you to build me the temple, but I'll let you aggregate and collect all the building materials and get them together for your son to build the temple. Well, there's a message in that. Don't ever think your prayers are in vain. Some of you listening to me, you've been praying about things for years and years and years and years, and that prayer seemingly has not been answered. Don't give up. Don't quit praying. I've been, as you well know, on the road for the last 2 months. I've been to Branson, Missouri. I've been to Louisville, Kentucky. I've been to Cleveland, Tennessee. Some of you said, well, Pastor Langford, don't return phone calls anymore. I've been traveling, folks. I've been traveling extensively. And in the meantime, I had my daughter's wedding in the process of those 3 trips. So, yes, I've not been able to make the return of the phone calls as I had that I like to do because I've been busy. I'm just one man, and everybody wants to talk to the pastor. Don't quit praying. Don't lose faith. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Your prayer may be answered after you're dead. You say, are you kidding me? What good is it to be answered then? What if it's for a son or a grandson or a daughter or granddaughter and you're dead and gone? That's why. Abraham never saw the nation Israel in its vibrancy. But God said, Abraham, out of your loins, there's going to come a nation, and you'll be a blessing to all nations, Abraham. Did Abraham see all of that? No, he didn't. So he never ceased to pray. We're told, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, if I'm correct. Pray without ceasing. Don't ever quit praying. You got to keep praying, praying, praying. You say, I'm not getting any results. Don't quit. I don't care whether you get any results or not. You need to practice. You say, Pastor, that was a little bit crass. Hey, you need the work of prayer. You think I feel like praying? You think I feel like every day praying? Doing radio programs, shooting videos. There are days I don't feel like doing this stuff. But I love the Lord and I love God's people and I have a responsibility to be faithful to feed the flock of God and to study to show myself approved unto God. And then when I come to the microphone, I give you the word of the Lord. By the way, we're trying to get everything together so we can do some live streaming on Sunday mornings and do some interviews and put them on the YouTube. We're trying to, as Jay Baz, God enlarged his coast. God's trying to help us to enlarge our coast, that things will be more productive and edification for the body of Christ, the body of Christ. Again, we're starting this series. We'll pick it back up Monday. Why? Monday's the day before the election. I may hit it one more time, and I may not. I may lightly hit it on Monday before the election on Tuesday. I'm believing God for an old-fashioned red wave. And to show the devil, his minions, his cohorts, his deceivers, God is still God. You know, this is the problem with any nation, with any, even with people, is prosperity. I'm going to close with this passage in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Solomon said, Lord, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Who is Jehovah? Who is Elohim? Who is God? If you deny the Lord, it is because you've become, what's the word am I looking for? We here in the South have a term, fat and sassy. Fat and sassy. I remember when it comes time to kill hogs, for the last 10 days to 2 weeks, you feed them corn. You want to lean them out. Lean them out. Don't become full and overcharged with this world and the cares of this world and the context that you forget who God is. Solomon said, Lord, feed me with food convenient for me. In other words, what you need, I may not need. What I need, you may not need. But he said, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who's God? Ask Nancy Pelosi. Ask Chuck Schumer. Who's God? Who's God? I don't know. Some say this. Some say that. Others say this. The question is, what do you say? I say Jesus is the God of all flesh. Let's keep praying. Let's keep tearing down the works of the enemy. We still got so many issues in this country. The national debt will be dealt with sometime, whether it's all-out cancellation, devaluation of money. I don't know. You keep living right. God's got this thing under control. God's not living under anxiety. God has this thing under control. God bless you. I'll see you Monday. Have a great, great week, and be blessed in Christ our Lord.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.